feel naked without it.
She called me.
Oh.
I know.
November 2nd. First order of business is approval of the minutes from the August 31st.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. Motion passed. Is there anyone here for public comments? Doesn't appear to be. So we'll move on to the next agenda, the employee years of service recognition. Who do we have?
Yes, sir. We have Janine Lewinsky, if you would come up, please. So Janine is one of our accounting technicians. She's been with us for 10 years. She's always willing to help and learn new things, which is perfect, given the number of changes the town's experienced in the last few years. During this time as an accounting technician, she's worked with payroll, accounts payable, accounts receivable, audit, and special revenue. And she always meets the challenge with enthusiasm and an I can do attitude. She's been an important part in our Ceridian when we implemented the payroll, working many weekends, also with our Oracle implementation. And she always keeps pushing to learn new things. She never lost her humor, which she is known for, during the COVID remote days. In fact, she was one of the few that would come on once a week to make sure that we got our deposits made each week and got the money in the bank. And the humor in her daily logs posting always brought laughter to us. It's really hard to believe that she'll be retiring this December. She has been a rock for the town and just for many years, and we just thank her for her service.
Hey.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Do you have gloves?
No.
Thanks, everybody.
10 years is a big deal.
Thank you.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. Don't they get one of those little pins like Mr. Santos has on?
I have one.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I forgot to wear it, though.
No, that's okay. I was just saying, I think it's kind of neat. I actually own a Mount Pleasant years of service pin from when I worked here, but I only got a 5-year. So anyway, as you can tell, I'm trying to stall and not doing a good job because Kathy had called me and she is on her way. I think she's doing her hair.
Oh, that was cold. No,
I just said that as public comments to bother her.
Oh.
She is someone that that will appreciate that. Okay, update on South Carolina business license tax reform.
Yes, sir. The state of South Carolina has adopted the South Carolina Business License Tax Standardization Act. This act standardizes the license period and due dates for all jurisdictions in South Carolina that have a business license tax. The town's current business license period is July 1 through June 30th, and penalties for failure to obtain a license begin September 1st. This period not only aligns with our fiscal year, but it also provides even cash flow. A third of the town's revenue comes through the business license office, and we currently receive the other bulk of it in January. So this gives us a nice, smooth cash flow of July and January. The state will now require that the business license tax period be May 1st through April 30th, and any taxes not paid by May 1st may be subject to penalties. This means that the town will begin its fiscal year and not receive a large portion of its tax revenue until January, or 7 months into our fiscal year. Then the business license taxes, they'll come in April of that fiscal year, or 10 months in. If there are any events that happen that would impact business license tax, we will only have 2 months in which really to adjust ourselves for the impact of those revenue shortfalls. The code also standardizes the date of the data that's used in a standardized business license class schedule. So during the even years, the state's Revenue and Fiscal Affairs Office will adopt the schedule. This will include the latest IRS data about the profitability of businesses, which kind of determine which class you're in, and also the latest Nexus codes, which is based on your business activity. Then, once they adopt it in the even years, it will be up to each municipality that has a business license to adopt it by ordinance by December 31st of the odd years.
I'm sorry. Before we go to the next slide, can I ask a quick question?
Absolutely.
So the current period being July 1 to June 30th, and those we have those, that money is due July 1st. So this coming year, it will be due May. No, it's not this coming year. It's the year after that when it's enacted.
Yes, sir. I'll talk about the transitioning, but this law will take effect January 2022. So it will be April of 2022 that'll be due.
Okay. All right.
And just for clarification, you're informing us of a state law. We're not approving or not approving, right?
At this point, correct. It's just information.
Yes.
We will need to come back to you in a couple of months with some decision matrix once we know a little bit more of some of the nuances of it. Mm-hmm. So we will bring it back. And then from there, once the state comes out with the schedule, we'll bring it back as an ordinance. So you'll see us twice more at least.
Okay.
The state is establishing a business license tax portal, which is still in development. State code will require that jurisdictions provide access to this portal. However, the town will still be required to provide on-site collections. The code is very clear that the town will receive the entirety of its taxes. The other big piece of this is the appeals process. It's going to be standardized. It's different from the town's current two-level appeal process, as it only has one. And once the town has finalized its decision, then the taxpayer would have to go to the administrative law court. Also, instead of paying 100% of the taxes under protest, you only have to pay 80%. The state code also addresses other items such as standardization definitions. This includes the standardization of what is considered gross revenue and specific information on charitable organizations and the purposes for which are tax exempt and for which are not tax exempt. There is a whole section on third parties and the limitation of their ability to access confidential business license information. And that is the only section of this that was effective immediately upon the governor's signature. Everything else, as we spoke, is the January 2022. The code also will continue to allow jurisdictions, upon finding a rational basis and a positive majority vote of council, to provide for additional reasonable subclassifications as needed for economic stimulus, or due to disproportionate demands by specific businesses on the taxing jurisdiction's service or infrastructure. So it goes both ways on that. So transitioning, besides that third party section, this takes effect January 1, 2022. The town will need to amend and adopt its new ordinance by December 31st, 2021. In the transition to the new schedule, the state puts limitations on the amount of revenue that the implementation can generate in the aggregate. This does not mean that some businesses will not shift from one class to another and experience a tax increase or decrease, but in the aggregate for the businesses we had at the time and the businesses renewing, those same businesses in the aggregate are supposed to be revenue neutral. So from here, what we'll do is we'll begin working on that decision matrix I talked about. We'll bring it back to you. We need to understand how much flexibility does the town have. We have a lot of unique pieces, like we allow for transferring of one business license to another. And so how far can we go with that, or how far can we not? Once we understand that, we'll bring it back to you for y'all to make decisions at that point. Also, we need to understand what it looks like when we implement the latest IRS data and the Nexus code and see what that impacts our businesses. And so from that point, we'll be prepared to bring an ordinance prior to the due date. Any questions? This is really a high level.
It doesn't appear to be.
Okay.
I'd like to get a copy of this, so if I could.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And I'm assuming that you're prepared for this and ready to go.
No. I mean, there are parts of it. We have to make sure that the technology will support.
Right.
Whenever we implement the new IRS data, we typically have to go to our technology vendor and make sure our software will transition those. So we'll need to do those pieces. But we don't yet have the data to do that with.
Right.
We, in January, had spoke about updating the IRS data. And so we knew that would make some changes. And so once this, we're really kind of waiting for the state. We're waiting for a little more understanding so that we can let you know where you can make those economic or those impact of changes. And then the state to give us the data, then we'll be ready. I don't know, look at Melinda across my shoulder and see if she's ready.
We'll be ready.
There you go.
Of course, that no one ever thought that you wouldn't, yes.
Just not
Mr. Rambo, you had a comment?
Yeah, so from, I know this is very high level and y'all are still working through it. I mean, is there anything that jumps out as far as it potentially being a loss in revenue according to any of these codes or?
Absolutely. When we looked at the our IRS data and we looked in January at implementing, I think it was 2017's IRS data. I can't remember exactly. When we ran those based on the reported gross receipts at that time, because some of the businesses that were making a profit that were in a higher class were moving down, we would have had to tweak rates to stay revenue neutral. At that point, the data, I think, was showing about a $200,000 loss. So we will have the ability, we'll come back to you, one of the decision matrices, this is what it now looks with these classes. And if they're implementing 2019 IRS data, that looks a lot different from what we last used. So there may be whole classes of businesses that shift. What we always propose is revenue neutrality, and on top of that, we're gonna bump it against what we had in the 2020 business license tax year. So, again, depending if you shift classes, you could have an impact, but in general, we would want it revenue neutral and we're required from the implementation perspective.
Okay. One follow-up question. So this is not necessarily about the business licensing changes, but are we getting a feel yet for how our business license revenue is going to look in this coming July, as opposed since, you know, with the 2020 recession, essentially. Do we have any better feel of that or?
What I would say is what they did this July was based typically for businesses on a calendar year were based on 2019, which
correct.
Was pre-COVID.
Yeah.
So next July we would collect and it would be based on their 2020 gross revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be watching as we are what's happening at the hospitality level particularly and what that does. And Melinda's tracking at the detail level. So we don't really, I mean, we believe it's going to be down simply because we could see the offset in the hospitality and the accommodations. But surprisingly, construction is still pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
So not that that will fully make up for it, but we are anticipating a decrease.
Okay.
Overall.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you. Anything else, sir?
That's it.
Any comments by anyone?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
It should be noted that we've opposed the changes to the business license and how it was collected and assessed for years now. Most communities in South Carolina are on a July 1 fiscal year.
Right.
So it was very neat for us to have an injection of cash in the July timeframe as we start the fiscal year, and then your taxes start rolling in for the most part in January. So it was sort of neatly spread out with two major sources of cash coming in, which was a nice cash flow situation for
mm-hmm.
us. This changes that and compresses most of the money that cities and counties will receive in South Carolina into a very small timeframe. So in other words, under the new scenario, all this money is coming in the second half of the year. So if your taxes are coming in behind in January or February, and your business licenses are coming in behind in April, then you have very little time to make any adjustments with your budget before the end of the fiscal year. I mean, no time at that point. That's not to say that there weren't adjustments that needed to be made, because there were too many differences in how the business mm-hmm. license was applied across jurisdictions. But we would have liked to have seen those cleaned up and the calendar kept the same. But we weren't able to prevail, and the law is the law, so we're preparing to follow it.
So the concern is cash flow. Mm-hmm. It's not receiving the money. It's just when we receive the money.
Mostly, yeah. And you know, when Mount Pleasant's been sounding the horn on this for years.
Right.
Fortunately, we're in a strong enough financial position where we won't have the issue with cash flow because of our sizable reserves.
Yes.
But most, as you know, most cities and towns and counties don't have that.
Right.
At their disposal. So there, it's a thin line now for them.
Yeah, it's rare that they do are in the financial position that we're in to be able to do that. So you could, in essence, give yourself a tax anticipation note from your own reserves.
Yeah.
And it could just show up and we can be fine.
Right.
Yeah. With our strong financial condition, I'm actually not really concerned. It's a cash flow thing, but we have the solution in our own house, which I think is really commendable, I think. So, any other questions? Anything? Okay. Well, that was good. Thanks. Item 6 is a discussion on the possible action with regard to special recognition for employees. And I'd like to give a little bit of background if I can. If you remember, at one of the council meetings, Council Member Chapman had mentioned a plan to give the employees a bonus, for lack of a better word, for the work that they've done through the COVID situation. And it's not as if we're done with the COVID situation, but that was a thing. And Mr. Chapman was asked if he would please wait until after the mid-year budget, where we or as opposed to the mid-year budget, so we can have an opportunity to look at our finances and how we are at this time. This is the Finance Committee. This isn't council. And in my opinion, unless we disagree, I don't think it's our committee's responsibility to say do it or not do it. I believe it is our committee's responsibility to discuss the funding of it and how, so that whenever we go to full council for a discussion and vote on this, that we can say that the Finance Committee is comfortable with the ability to fund this or not. So based on that, if I can, Marcy, can you let us know if we are in a position to be able to fund this year?
Yes, sir. We're monitoring everything. We anticipated in the budget, looking at each revenue, those layers that Mr. DeMora submitted to you, we anticipated a much deeper hit to our revenues. So we cautionarily put those aside. What we found is they're not that deep. And from July to August, we actually saw slight increases. We also, property tax has come in stronger for July and August than it did last year. And our business license, we're not seeing the depth of the impact that we had anticipated. And also, as you spoke earlier, given our reserves, but we believe that we're in a position that this could be handled if town council chooses to do that.
Okay. And I believe, my one person's opinion, that the fact that we have not had a deeper hit than we had anticipated could be because of the staff, could be because of the operations of the town, which I think is a positive thing. So I would like to hear from the committee to see how we will proceed forward with a recommendation, without a recommendation, or how do we want to take this forward? If there's any comments. Ms. Landy?
Go ahead.
Gary?
Ladies first.
No, I'm good.
I guess my question is if it is approved, will it happen before Christmas?
Our staff is prepared for whatever comes out of town council to take action. Yes. And Mr. Santos, I know you always like that Black Friday date.
Yes, that was my next question.
Well, and what we looked at is Black Friday probably won't be the same. So if we can't actually do something by Black Friday, I think we can do it before the credit cards are due, because it's probably going to be a lot of online shopping. That's what I anticipate. So I'm not sure by Black Friday, but yes, we can turn it around, and we've already talked about all the logistics of that pending what council approves.
Well, I know, if I'm not mistaken, we allowed the employees to be able to get their buyback for, I guess, their vacation days or whatever it is that y'all did. We did that before Black Friday. Is that going to still happen?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And remember, that's a liability on our books anyway.
Yeah.
So the more successful we are spreading that out over time prevents a large accrual that has to be paid.
They'll be very, very excited to hear that. Thank you.
Ms. Landy?
I'm in agreement with everybody that our staff has been incredible throughout all this. I'm just trying to understand again, what didn't we, so we froze raises during this time, is that correct? And we froze new hires for
yes,
a period of time, but we didn't lay anybody off. Did we cut any wages at all?
No wages were cut. We have reduced our workforce by almost 30 positions. So some of the normal work has been spread out amongst those of us who are left.
Was that due to natural attrition and we didn't hire more people, or we actually had to lay people off to make that happen?
It was not a layoff.
That's what I thought.
It was not filling positions, correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the issue is that because of freezing, a lot of people had to do a lot more work to keep up. Is that?
Well, that's one reason, yes. Mm-hmm. I think, as Chairman O'Rourke mentioned to begin the meeting, I know that there was discussion about this at the council level, and as he mentioned, Mr. Chapman was heavily involved, and the idea was to postpone any financial recognition for employees. Recall, as we went into this budget year for July 1, we were looking towards a pretty sizable implementation of a wage and class study. Mm-hmm. That showed where the groups of employees, which ones were really out of line with the marketplace. Because I think you had mentioned this one time, Ms. Landing, that despite the economic conditions that are out there, we're still under competition here. Mm-hmm. We still have employees getting picked off into the private sector and things like that after we've trained them. So we delayed that to start the year because it was an obvious reason for that. And we can't reach that level of funding now. That was close to, I think, all in. That was like a $2 million. That was the cost to implement all those things July 1. So this proposal is just over $400,000 and is a small recognition for what has happened, not just because of COVID and not just because of civil unrest, but because of some other things as well. So that's kind of how we got here.
Sure. Well, and I think it's great. I just think it's good to make sure we have all that out there publicly so people know that, you know, we just need to have a real in their pocket way of help of thanking our employees, because it's been so tough. So thank you.
Any other comments? Mr. Rambo?
I don't think I've heard. What is the total cost of this?
Very excellent question. The recommendation is a 1%, not to be going to next year, a one-time 1% with a floor of $500, Mr. Rambo. So in other words, if there was an employee who made, I'm just picking a number here for purpose of example, $30,000 or $35,000, it would automatically go to $500, right? So okay. There's a floor. And with the floor and the 1%, the total cost is $411,000. It's a one-time cost. So this wouldn't add to the budget picture next year.
All right. And that includes all the taxes and everything, too?
Okay. Yes.
So I believe we have enough information for Mr. Chapman to build a motion for the for the full council, and the debate of whether to do it or not, I think should be at full council, because it does encompass all divisions and all things. Mr. Rambo?
Sorry, I just had another question. Forgive me, my first year, but is it typical, I mean, do employees typically get some sort of bonus around Christmas time, or is that this a unique situation, or?
Typically, no.
Okay.
What we try to do is award based on merit and performance.
Okay.
So we try to do two things every year, and that is if raises are possible, they're metered out based on performance. And then the second part of that is if you look at then, instead of the individual, looking at the employee base as a whole to make sure it's competitive in the market, and we make adjustments where necessary. So those are usually the two points of attack. However, there have been a number of years now, mostly going back towards the 09, 10, 11 years from the Great Recession, where it was just trying to keep the lights on type stuff, where council got in the habit of providing this kind of one-time financial recognition in lieu of the things I just mentioned, just because those were reachable and the larger things weren't. So I'd say probably in the last 10 years, three of those, and now don't hold me to it, but I'm just saying probably three out of the last 10 years have been some form of recognition like we're talking about today.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Eric, and that, you know, I mentioned about buying back your vacation pay.
Yeah.
I think that's a great incentive for the employees as well, because if you're saving up to buy something or whatever, you can kind of control your fate. By saying, well, you know, this year I won't take a vacation, and that gives me, you know, a week's worth of money to be able to get what I wanted to get. So I think it gives them opportunities to kind of make some financial decisions if they want to.
Okay.
My last and final comment is I hope that this is not construed in any way as money for a holiday bonus. That I think would, that was not the intent when it was originally brought up. It was, and I think that then becomes something expected if we start to do that. And I hope that we stay away from that wording and go back to the original intent that this was intended when it was brought up. So I think we have the information. The money is in the budget to do it if council considers that, and we'll ask to put it on the agenda of the full council meeting. Yes, sir.
So procedurally, are we making some sort of motion from this meeting, or?
We're not making a motion, but we are informing council that if they choose to do it, the Finance Committee has looked at the finances, and that the finances are able to do it.
So then how does this get on the full council agenda, though?
Oh, I don't know the rules.
Without like a, I feel like we would need to make a motion to
do we need to make a
right?
motion?
I think it would be best if you just made a motion to.
Can we make a motion to take it to full council?
You don't have to have a recommendation, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I make a motion. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Did we turn it to full council?
I'll second.
Okay, so we have
and just for clarification, it's for a one-time bonus of 1% of their salary with a floor of $500.
That's
just
right.
For clarification of the motion. Is that correct?
That's what we've come up with, yes. Y'all could slice and dice it any way you wish, but that's the proposal, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Thank you for doing that, Mr. Rambo. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, thank you. Next item is adjournment. Good committee meeting, everybody.
I made fun of you.
Like
you
brought it out.
I totally.
You should have seen it. It's not for the Warwick.